Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Aaron Shafewalaf, my colleague at MRM. Welcome back, Aaron. I'm really enjoying this discussion that we're having regarding the debate that you had with a Latter-day Saint man by the name of Kwaku L. It was held on March 6th, 2020 at the Utah Valley University. There was easily about 300 people there. Mm-hmm. They were putting more chairs out. And I think it's a pertinent topic. It's something that interests a lot of people. I was reading some of the comments on Facebook after the debate was over. You received a lot of kudos, especially from some former Mormons who I think really needed to hear what you had to say. And
even from some active Mormons, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's great. And so, but let's again go back. What were the topics of the debate?
The three topics were, is salvation by faith alone? And beforehand, I was very clear with Kwaku that by salvation here, I'm taking the position that this is receiving eternal life, adoption, sealing of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Secondly, was there a great apostasy? Thirdly, are families forever, which has as its focus in the definition of family there, the nuclear family.
Now, as I mentioned in an earlier show, you and I had a speaking engagement north of Salt Lake City where we were to be there for a Q&A session, and you were discussing some of the things that you plan to bring up during this debate. So I was pretty familiar with your game plan, mm-hmm. your strategy. I've got to tell you, Aaron, one of the things that really bothered me was almost immediately Kwaku launches off into a lot of logical fallacies, which I found to be very troubling, but he also went off topic.
So I don't think people realize just how ugly this was. To set it up, we had a sponsor for the debate, which was paying at their own cost, a substantial sum to help rent the facility. We had teams of evangelical Christians helping advertise the debate, and we had a lot of people just helping spread the word and show up under the assumption that we were going to debate the actual topics as advertised. Now, when Kwaku and I decided on the topics, we had to get a moderator. So we were looking for a moderator, and I thought, you know, let's just use the sponsor of the event to help moderate. His name is also Aaron. And I thought, you know, we're not going to need a strong moderator. And we talked about it, and the idea was, you know, we can trust each other to play by the ground rules of the debate. That's part of what makes a debate is you have a structure, a set of topics, and you stay relatively within your lane, and you have a focused conversation on those topics. So you had about 300 people there waiting in this auditorium, and Kwaku shows up 30 minutes late while 300 people are waiting. And he gets up for his portion of the debate, and he almost immediately goes way off the topic. Instead of talking about is salvation by faith alone, which has a pretty standard set, a domain of points of interest and texts that are treated, he almost immediately starts talking about predestination and Calvinism, and basically spent much of his time in topic one and topic two talking about Luther and Calvin, and arguing about how he thought they were so awful and how Christians essentially were a hop, skip, and a jump away from being, it just sounds silly saying this out loud, but he argued that we were a hop, skip, and a jump from basically being supporting mass murder and the...
He brought that up throughout the debate, it should be mentioned, throwing it out there as a little dig here and there.
That Protestantism has a roundabout contribution to the Holocaust and to American slavery, that is his idea was not that just cultural Protestantism can be linked to it, but that the theology of believing that the Bible is sufficient and what we believe what the Bible says is itself gives way to mass murder. This is not about salvation by faith alone, what he's talking about here. This isn't about justification or adoption or sanctification. This isn't about the texts that we're dealing with. This ended up just being a smear, a bunch of historical overstatements even, but a very ugly, I try not to use this word loosely, but I'll use it, a hateful display of contempt for Protestant Christians. And with a smile on his face, all the while mocking me for having evangelical fervor and higher volume and assertive preaching, but a kind of sweet, soft hate in his voice for Protestant Christians. At a debate where he showed up 30 minutes late with people that had spent time and money helping advertise the debate, Kwaku came under false pretenses, and he violated the social contract of the debate to stay relatively within the lane of the agreed-upon topics. And he showed himself to be an untrustworthy debate partner. So I tried to roll with it. I think probably one of the best criticisms I received was that I took the bait and I went down rabbit holes. And I think if I had to do it over again, I would have addressed it head on to show that I'm not hedging on the issues. I want to be bold and unapologetic and affirm what the Bible says about these topics, but I ought not have gone so far deep down the hole. And what's strange about this is the last debate we did, we had a whole subtopic on predestination. And so it's not that we're afraid to talk about it. It's not that I would shy away from having even a debate about it or talking about it. It's that that wasn't this debate, and he violated the trust of and the social contract inherent to the debate.
He most certainly did, and I think he only enforced an idea that I've had for a long time when talking with Mormons one-on-one, because I've had them bring that up. They'll say, well, what about Calvinism? Here's my answer. Now, I know you probably need to address at least some points in a debate context, but the reason why I usually don't, and the common line that I've used with Latter-day Saints is, look, the Calvin-Arminian debate is an in-house debate, and you're not in the house. And it's clear, by the way Kwaku was describing it, as if that is evangelical Christianity, only proved my point. They're not ready for that discussion. And so usually on the streets, typically a layperson in the church is not ready for that discussion either. They just have stereotypes of what they think it is. And rather than waste a lot of time on that, I would much rather get to where they are in light of eternity.
The way he presents it is also deceptive, because he's not attacking Calvinism for Calvinism. He's attacking Calvinism for being an expression of classic theism. And here's what I mean by that. When I've discussed this issue with Kwaku in the past, it's become clear that any theistic model which has God as the ultimate primary cause and God as the foundation of all being and God as the one who knows the definite future, any classical theistic model where God has that certain future or he knows what will come to pass and he decides to go with it anyway, that would include the Arminian position, the Calvinistic position, the Molinist position, that all violates the sensibilities that he has for what would constitute a just and fair God. So what I brought up in the debate later was, look, his complaints against this are not particular to Calvinism. He has elsewhere expressed favor for the view of what's called open theism. Open theism is the view that God does not know the definite future, that he knows the possible outcomes, but he does not know the definite outcomes with respect to human decision-making. For a lot of Mormon philosophers and those who dabble in Mormon philosophy, that is the only choice they see as viable for rescuing themselves, as it were, or rescuing God, if they could, from the problem of evil. So Kwaku, while he might look like he's taking a snipe at Calvinism, he's actually, with respect to his actual complaints, he's firing a shotgun against all of classical theism. And I would even include classic Mormon theism, because classic Mormonism affirms God's foreknowledge. At some point, a lot of Latter-day Saint leaders have talked very frankly about God knowing the definite future. They know what we will do. They've had a view of simple foreknowledge. So he ends up throwing his own leaders under the bus by favoring open theism.
Let's talk about that expression, under the bus, because you use that expression. in the debate when he kept using examples from Luther in his later life, specifically some of his comments regarding the Jews. And he also brought up Calvin and the issue with Servetus. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a lot of people understood the history behind both those events and both of those issues, but you made the comment that you would have no problem throwing a Luther or a Calvin under the proverbial bus for those expressions and deeds that were troubling and certainly antithetical to our Christian view.
If needed, I will throw all of Calvin and all of Luther under the bus wherever they contradict the Bible or Christian ethics. So I'm not beholden to them like I am my prophets and apostles. And what I told him was I would not want to be a part of a religion that has to throw its apostles and prophets under the bus. I'm not ashamed of Paul. In the debate, Kwaku actually went after Paul. He basically called Paul, in a roundabout way, he called him a sexist. He said that Paul held sexist views. And later, another Mormon apologist in the Q&A got up and said that Paul essentially was a racist. And Kwaku seemed to be favorable toward that, too. So he threw Paul under the bus. And what I ended up telling Kwaku in the debate was, I'm happy to treat Calvin and Luther like you treat Brigham Young. You throw Brigham Young under the bus so fast when you don't agree with him. Well, you know what? That's how I treat Martin Luther and Calvin whenever they don't align with the Bible. I'm happy to quote them where they're great. I'm happy to disagree with them where they're not great. But if you have a prophet or an apostle, you have to treat them with a higher standard of accountability.
And they don't. They seem to just, oh, well. They don't take them that seriously. That's what is very frustrating sometimes when having this discussion with Latter-day Saints. They want to revere these men as being chosen by God to guide the church, and they do give this air of infallibility, though they would never go that far and say it like that. But like even what we're hearing right now, and a lot of Mormons praising how they have Russell M. Nelson, you know, they have the president of their church guiding them in this crisis that our country is going through. And really what he's saying is nothing any different that I could find on most websites when it comes to preparedness.
Mostly repeating the CDC recommendations.
Absolutely. It's just very frustrating. But I agree with you totally. I think when it comes to bad behavior or even bad ideas that counter what we understand the New Testament to be teaching, we should be quick to refute those kind of statements and those kind of actions. But yet, unfortunately, he kept giving the impression that that was really the result of what we believe regarding this idea of salvation by grace and through faith and that Jesus was enough. We're going to continue this conversation with Aaron and the debate that he had with Kwaku L. on March 6, 2020 at Utah Valley University.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book, available at your favorite Christian bookstore.